And I get some MJ? Oh, hell yeah, on a Friday. Hold on, let me just finish. I got to text this real quick to my brother and sister-in-law. There's a new Dungeon Crawler Carl Overlord that got cast. I have to send that tweet to them.
Okay.
They didn't know that. Now I do. Welcome back. Grant Danny here on the Fan. Tobes in for GP. So what we're doing right now, calling some balls and strikes here. That's what we try to do. So we've talked a little behind the scenes in general for Grant and I, and Tobes on will speak for you, but I think you may be cut from the same cloth. I think you're doing the gig right if you find yourself arguing against both sides.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean every issue you're going to be straight down the middle. That's not really what I mean. If you're one of those guys, it's like they're going to go 1-16. Quinn's going to get fired week 4. They stink. No, I think you're wrong. If you're 14-3, you know, Daniel sets every positive offensive record and they're going to be the greatest team since the 91 Redskins. I think you might be wrong about that too.
Yeah.
So you always kind of find yourself arguing against extremes on kind of any side. I think generally that's a good sign if nobody loves you, right? It's about a compromise or a business deal. A good one is when everybody leaves kind of gruntled, right? When Nobody's happy. So what we're doing here is calling balls and strikes. National media is pretty low on this Washington club. Entering week 2 of the preseason, from what they've seen based on last year, some of the stuff I think they're a little bit over the top on, but you kind of compiled the list.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been interesting. We just talked about Nick Shook is down on Dan Quinn, saying it's a prove-it year. I think that's correct versus, you know, the Jaden thing or the offensive line. Like, I think it's just interesting when you look. We were talking about this before the show. ESPN put out a position ranking of all the different units across the National Football League, and the Commanders only found themselves outside of or above the top 20 in two different position groups, quarterback and linebacker. If that doesn't tell you how the consensus around this team from the national media is quite low, I don't know what else to tell you. Now, are they 100% correct? I don't necessarily think so. I think they're going to be a little bit better. The way that you read about them at times, Danny, it's like, oh, this is going to be another 5-win season. I think this team is better than that. But how much better? Is it the same that, you know, the fan that tweets at us and says that they're going to win 12 games, or is it more in that 8-9-ish range? So I think it's interesting just reading the various things and seeing if we agree or not.
Love it. So, Darius, you're our moderator for this. We've already gone through a couple. You have a few more there in the holster. Have at it.
All right. The next one that we got is from Sports Illustrated. Peter Dewey wrote an article where he ranked every team's Super Bowl odds. He has the Commanders 22nd with plus 6,000 odds to win the Super Bowl. His excerpt will go on to say, Washington went from the NFC title game to missing the playoffs last season, and now it has the fourth toughest schedule in the NFL in 2026.
I agree with this. This is my summary. As we talk about this all the time, a lot of it is out of your control. You can be a better team. I mean, for example, we've talked about Detroit, their opponent tomorrow. Did you know Detroit had a better point differential last year than they did two seasons ago when they won, I think, 14 games? You know that? I mean, it's not something you'd consider. We thought, Oh, what a disappointment last year. They were just okay. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. But yeah, they had a better point differential in 2025 than they did in 23 when they won 12 games, right? So part of that was, you know, they were maybe more fortunate a couple years ago or whatever. But you can be a better team and not end up with a better record. That's based on a million things. Do you get to play a bunch of backup quarterbacks? When you play a certain team, are they banged up? Are they coming off a huge rest disadvantage, travel, et cetera? And we don't know right now, but on paper, right now, this minute, I cannot stop talking about this schedule. And I know a lot of Washington fans don't want to hear it because they're like, that's soft. You got to beat everybody anyway. It doesn't matter. What matters when you're not great? I wouldn't care if I was Buffalo what their schedule is. That's a matter of are they winning 13, 12, 11. No one wants to see them come postseason time. Washington hasn't graduated to that, in my view. So I think the East is really good. I think the Giants are a lot better. Not good yet. They're not ready for primetime, but they're ready to be a pain in your butt. I think Dallas will be much improved. And I think Philadelphia's too good an organization right now with the best GM in the sport and Howie Roseman to falter further than an 11-win season, which has been their down years over the last four. I think that's just to begin the conversation before you start playing Seattle and some of these other really good teams. So that's my narrative. I don't like their chances for that reason.
Yeah, no, and you've been consistent on that throughout the entire process. Yeah. And I would say that I'm a little less on your side in that because every single schedule in the National Football League is hard because you're playing in the National Football League. Now, obviously, some are going to be harder than others. Like, you look at the beginning of Washington's schedule, there isn't a cupcake before the bye week. Philly's hard. Dallas is hard. Both of those on the road. Seattle at home. That's the defending Super Bowl champs. Indianapolis would be a little bit easier, but they were a good team last season. And by the way, you're traveling to London. And then you've got the Giants, who are always tough to play, even though they might not be great. They're in your division. They know you well. That's going to be a tough one. And then you got San Francisco before the bye week. But then you look after the bye week, and they're still tough games, but you get down, there's a stretch where it's Cincinnati, who's a tough team, but I think beatable. Arizona's beatable. Tennessee's beatable, right? So they've got games that they can win. I think it just means that your margin for error is you cannot lose the winnable games. And so I understand that, but to me, every single schedule in the National Football League, there's no such thing as a cakewalk unless you feel like the NFC South, all four teams really suck, right? So to me, it matters, but I think it's getting overblown just a hair because of the fact that Philadelphia is beatable. They are in your division. This team has played them well when they were bad, right? So talking about Washington, when they were bad, they played Philly hard. So I don't know. To me, every schedule in the NFL is of varying difficulty, and that's also based off of last year's strength of schedule stuff, right? Or the way that they played last season. Who's to say one team on here that sucked doesn't have a great season and one team that was great doesn't fall back to the pack? So I don't put as much weight into that one, but I fully understand why some people feel the way that they do.
Last one I got for you, friend of the program, Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports. He was actually a bit nicer to us. He put us 18th in the power rankings for 2026 to start the season. He does go on to say, though, it's fair to wonder if the Commanders have done enough to support Jaden Daniels. Both coordinators will be calling plays for the first time in the NFL. That's a risk for Dan Quinn, who will be on the hot seat if the Commanders don't contend for a playoff berth again. The offense is practically the same lukewarm cast that it was last season, which has also been an issue with Stroud's development in Houston.
So let's tackle these one by one, Danny.
Okay.
So we'll start with the first one. It's fair to wonder if the Commanders have done enough to support Daniels. So I think this was completely valid. I think we both were banging the drum, you more so than me, but I think we were both banging this drum before they signed Stephon Diggs. And now since they've signed Stephon Diggs, who I view as like a legitimate 1A, 1B now with Terry McLaurin, I'm fine with what they have around him. Maybe not on the offensive line, which we've already talked about, and maybe that wants to, you know, if you consider that part of it, then I fully understand that. But I think for Jaden, I think the weapons now are ample enough that I actually really believe in Antonio Williams. And now that he's not depended on to try to be the number two receiver, I think he's going to be, you know, someone that you can depend on, and he'll grow maybe not as much as a rookie, but I think he's going to be someone that's going to be really helpful for this offense. I actually like their weapons quite a bit right now with where they're at.
All right. So going through, as you said, each point, I still don't think it's enough. Now, skill position-wise, Stephon Diggs changes everything to me. Because now when you start to look at overall the totality of the offense, you had a pass-catching running back in Rashad White, role TBD. Chigakonkwo, a more dynamic tight end. Zach Ertz was valuable, certainly, as a catch-and-fall guy, but he was, you know, box out and going to get you that 4.5 when you needed 4. But Okonkwo should be more dynamic. I'm bullish on that signing. Diggs changes the dynamic to me. Instead of going, yeah, maybe they'll find another Noah Brown off the scrap heap, it's a, oh, we got a 1,000-yard guy coming off a down year, right? This is just, as you said, it's sort of a different animal. But to me, it's the offensive line. Even with Tunsil, this is a, I know I'm saying the same thing, I'm a broken record. This is year 3 of a build. If this is what it looked like in year 1, where you inherited a bunch of bad contracts and a bunch of stupid signings from Bavera and company, you'd go, all right, I get it. You're sort of stuck here. We'll do the best we can. You're not. This is year 3, and you've had so much cap space each of the last 3 seasons. I just can't believe it. I cannot believe you can go to bed at night if you're Peters, Newmark, and Sosna, and all the guys going, we have not assembled a top 12, top 15 offensive line for this kid who's been hurt a million times. How could you go to bed at night? Wouldn't you be panicked? Wouldn't you be freaking out every second under the sun? Going, oh my God, with rubbing your forehead like our boss does when I miss a read or Darius goes to break early. Like, how could you possibly go to bed and relax? It, like, we had, oh, we're not 32nd, we're 25th. Oh, okay, great. I'll get the parade stuff ready. How could this be the case? Again, I understand you can't do everything at once. 3 off seasons now, 3 drafts now. Come on, man. Come on. Way less Johnny Newton in my draft, way more offensive linemen in my draft, way less. Luke McCaffrey in round 3, way more linemen that turned into something or didn't. My point is you had chances and you didn't get it done. I understand not everybody's going to sign here. I understand swinging and missing a free agent. I understand the process. I get it. I'm not a crazy person. I just know that the net, the totality here is the third year of this regime having multiple off-seasons draft, ways that you're acquiring players, and it's at best with Tunsil just okay. I just find that so unacceptable.
Well, so I want to double click on that, because back to what we read a little bit earlier about the PFF O-line ranking, he said that if they had Tunsil, they would have been just inside the top 20. So let's assume that's like 19 or something like that. You think that it should still be lower than that if they had Tunsil? Because to me,
it's around there, 19 to 22. Okay. You can't complain.
Because to me, when I look at it, if they had Tunsil, because you can't plan for him to be gone. And I actually think Coleman fills in well. If you had Tunsil, let's put Tunsil there for now. Mm-hmm. Tunsil, Chris Paul, Nick Allegretti, Sam Cosmi, Josh Connerly. I actually like that O-line. The problem is, now you've got Coleman sliding in at left tackle. I didn't like the center position. I have never liked the way that they went about addressing that. I understand Connerly is probably not great right now. I still believe in the upside, and he's playing right tackle. The issue I think you run into now where they're at is, before, I never had to help Laremy Tunsil. I could always help Josh Connerly because of that. Now, I probably have to help both tackles, which in turn makes Chris Paul a little more vulnerable, and I don't believe in the center at all still, regardless of whether it's Nick Allegretti or not. So I can understand where it gets lower, but you were lower even when they had Tunsil.
Yeah, so and here's the distinction. I still like Connerly, even with all the negative that's swirling around, right? But I understand the point. If you're writing, you're going, just because you believe in something happening, eventually it has not happened yet.
Yeah.
Right? Where if you're going, you're telling me, y'all wait and see, wait till Luke McCaffrey breaks out. Maybe. I'd love to not have to worry about that, and I'll give me Stephon Diggs,
yeah,
who's coming off 80 catches and a grand, and who's you know, when he playing 50% of snaps. If he goes back to his normal rate of snaps, that's, you know, 85 catches, 1,100 yards, and way better than anything that they had. I understand at some point you got to go with the unproven. They had to do it in Kansas City, and they're still struggling to find consistent pass catchers, right? Because the quarterback makes $1 billion. That's not the case here. You don't have to make the tough choices yet. And the framing that has driven me crazy this offseason was, well, they had to help the defense. Uh-huh. You know what's so much fun about having tons of cap space because you have a quarterback on a rookie deal is you're not limited to one decision. You're not limited to one thing. You can improve everything. You absolutely can. And they've had three offseasons to do it with a star quarterback on a rookie deal. You look at the Chicago Bears, for example. Now, it didn't work out this way. They surrounded Caleb Williams with all the receiving talent in the world, veterans, young players, drafted guys early, traded things away to make sure they had a cadre of excellent receivers for him, including veterans, guys that could do more with less, etc. Turns out they swung and missed on the offensive line. Well, now look at their offensive line rankings. You don't have to scan down too far. You don't have to give yourself carpal tunnel to find where Chicago is. They're towards the top of everybody's rankings. Great skill guys, great offensive mind, and an excellent offensive line. Ta-da! Is it any wonder his production improved last year? It's not some weird mystery. We always do this with quarterbacks, where, again, they're going to be guys that are going to be busts no matter what, Tobes. But you go to some place that needs saving, like you throw poor Cam Ward to the Wolves in Tennessee, and it's like, yeah, we got kind of a Rube offensive mind, not much talent around him, very little receivers. Anyway, let's see what happens. Wouldn't you know, he struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, all the guys that we think of as punchlines over the years, from, you know, Jamarcus Russell to Akili Smith to Tim Couch to David Carr, all these guys were like, yep, no, funny, they stunk. They all went to terrible orgs, had terrible experiences, had no talent around them, were basically thrown into the deep end. And somehow it didn't work out. How could you ever do anything other than surround a young rookie quarterback with everything that you possibly could to maximize and protect, because that position is so damned hard when everything's perfect. And once they've achieved their full power, once they're Thanos with the glove that Itri made for him out of, remember, because he said he would spare all the dwarves, mm-hmm, with the, you know, right there by the power of the star.
Of course.
I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and he didn't keep his word, which is kind of BS, because usually Thanos keeps his word. Thought it was a little bit of a plot hole, if I'm being honest about that, because the whole point of Thanos is, even though he's doing all these terrible things, he's pretty honorable, right? Like, he says what he's going to do, and he does it. Think about all the Avengers that he spared.
Could've honest killed, Thanos.
Could have killed Tony Stark, could have, you know, battered these guys. You know, in Infinity War, for example, so... Captain America, Cap, if you will.
Yeah, Cap.
Stops his punch. Thanos kind of looks at him like, oh, I didn't know you could get down like that. then just punches him in the face. Doesn't obliterate him, doesn't tear him in half, doesn't change reality just to end him. He could have. He's an honorable villain, but then he's supposed to be betraying Eitri and just getting rid of all the dwarves, even after he made him the Infinity Gauntlet. I thought that was a little bit bogus, but we glossed past it because the whole point was that Thor was going to take the power of a son and kind of show that he was full power, active Thor, rehabbing from the setback that happened in Infinity War. But the point is, what was my point? Oh, yeah. Once a quarterback has the Infinity Gauntlet and they're Josh Allen, they're Lamar Jackson, they're Pat Mahomes, they're Joe Burrow, you go, hey, you got to do it with less. You got to carry us. We can't pay everybody, right? Why would you ever ask a rookie quarterback or a quarterback on a rookie deal to do that? Let them get to the point where they get the Infinity Gauntlet. And Washington's gone, you know what, man? We're going to make it harder for you with this build. We're going to do an unproven center, the guy that's played there twice but practiced there some. And that's the plan?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I know I went on a long rant there, but it's really I just wanted to talk about Infinity War and Endgame again.
Real quick, a couple of the other ones that Frank Schwab brought up had them 18th in the power ranking, so he was a little bit more bullish than just about everybody else in the national media. I thought this point is really astute. Both coordinators calling plays for the first time in the NFL. I think sometimes from our side of things, you go, well, you know, they roll out week one, and you're going to face Philadelphia. They're not going to know what they're facing. You face Dallas in week two, they'll have 1 week's worth of film. The defending champ Seattle come in for the home opener, they'll have 2 weeks' worth of film. So that's going to work in Washington's favor, right? Certainly could, Danny. Also, you got two first-time play callers who could be stumbling through it. Now, Durante Jones has done it before, at least at the college level, so I'm a little less worried about him. But I do think there is something to be said for first-time calling plays at any level. For David Blau, you don't just step right in and suddenly be or a genius at scripting and sequencing and all that sorts of stuff. So I'm interested how long that takes, or if it's something where he's the kid wonder that gets it going right out of the gate, but then as people start to pick up on him, maybe it hits him in the middle of the season. I do think at some point he's got to hit some sort of a cold spell where we're like, all right, he's got to be a little bit better as a play caller.
There has to be some grace given. And again, I just wish they were playing Cleveland and the Jets out of the gate. They're not. They're playing three of the six best teams probably in the whole NFL. Maybe Dallas outside looking in. But fine. Three of the best 10 best teams in the league probably out of the gate. There's no scheduling directional Michigan here to start things off, right? There's no soft landing spot. And the best to do this still take a minute to get a feel for it. It's really hard. And I don't know you have time to kind of figure that out. I think it's such a good point. All right. I know that sounded more negative. Here's the positive. Let's do that. 800-636-1067. What are you more optimistic about? What are you optimistic about, not only with this preseason, with this team, but for the year? What are you optimistic about? We'll also find out what you're nervous about, but really I want to start with what are you most optimistic about? It can be a unit. It can be a player. It can be coaches. Whatever it is. Pull up the phones right here on a Friday afternoon on the way home before nobody could drive anywhere because of the Grand Prix that's in town this weekend. Right? Give us a call. 800-636-1067. What are you optimistic about for this team this year? Toby, Danny, it's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Good mood today. It's a good little mix of tunes. It's a little pep in your step on a Friday. Throwback, we've had some Prince every hour. You gave me some MJ at the top. I'll go Rick Astley all day. I didn't like the Rick Roll trend, to be honest with you, because it was too much of a parody of Rick Astley. This song rules. He was awesome. Say what you want. So Milli Vanilli comes around, and everyone's like, they're lip-syncing, this is a bummer. Everybody thought this dude, who does not sound what he looks like, okay? I don't know how to say that better than that in 2026. It was easier to say then. Now I don't know what I'm allowed to say or what I'm not allowed to say. I'm uncomfortable with everything.
Just say it, Danny.
Nah, I'm a middle-aged white.
Just say it.
Whatever I'm saying is wrong. I know that. I've learned that very quickly. But he doesn't look like you think he looks like. Okay?
Yeah.
You don't see a 145-pound red-haired guy.
Really?
And that's him.
You don't hear that? You don't see that when you hear this?
Uh-uh. He rules.
He does.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back. G&D on the Fan. Tope's hanging out. No GPs on vacay. What are you optimistic about with this football team. I figured we'd throw the ball around a little bit here, Tubbs. Darius, you too. Strobes, I want you participating. Put your participants on, Strobes, and get ready to do it. Be locked on the football team for like 7 seconds, then go back to thinking about Trey Mann's role, all right? Just moonlight with us for like 5 seconds.
I think he's devastated DeMar DeRozan's in Denver.
Oh, he's upset. He's upset about that.
Yeah.
He has been sitting here pacing around like Dane Cook doing a TV special.
Yep.
Well, thinking about DeMar DeRozan every hour on the hour.
I thought it was because Juju Reese got traded.
That's true as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of things just yucking his mom, yeah, or whatever the phrase is. Yucking
his
yum.
What's the phrase?
Yucking his yum.
I thought he was going to do one of the other ones.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to deviate far enough you had to dump yourself. Has that ever happened?
No, I don't think I've ever had to dump. No, I don't think so. Mm-mm. It's the first time for everything.
Tough.
Yeah, go ahead and say it. What is it? I'm going to, there's a dog and a, okay, anyway. What are you optimistic about? 800-636-1067. Could be something that other people are down on, you're up on. It could be any of a million things. Let's go back and forth a little bit, Tobes, and we'll incorporate the rest of the gang as well. You guys on the phones at 800-636-1067. We'll do nervous about. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to hear what you're optimistic about with the football team before their second preseason game against the Lions.
This is going to sound so stupid and so generic and so easy. I'm optimistic about Jaden Daniels. And it's not necessarily that he can play quarterback and that he's going to play at a really high level, because that's, to me, comes without saying. I think he's going to play at a top 10 level. Maybe if he gets back to what he was at the end of 24, it can be borderline top 5 level, right? I'm pretty confident he's going to play at a really high level. I'm pretty optimistic that he's going to stay healthy for the season. To me, you look at last season, he never suffered the devastating injury. Was it annoying that he dealt with a sprained knee and then a tweaked hamstring and then a messed up elbow? Absolutely. Those three things are not related. And you could say that they're fluky. I think some of them, like, it's not natural to put your arm down the way that he did. Like, that's something that you'd love to be not a part of the way that he gets tackled and various things. And you don't want to see him get hit and he can better protect himself. But he didn't have, you know, knock on wood, the RG3 devastating, like, uh-oh, that changes his whole career injury. And hopefully we never see that. So to me, all right, we look back at last year and it was a little bit of a fluke is what I'm hoping. And he's more along the lines we've seen throughout his career. Maybe he gets dinged up, but something that he can play through. So I'm pretty optimistic that Jaden plays at a really, really high level. That's why I'm higher on this team than probably the national media. And if he's able to go out there and play at a high level and stay healthy, I don't see a way that this team isn't much better.
I'm optimistic about Stephon Diggs. I don't think this is getting enough run or getting enough credit. He came off a year where he was, you know, half of it was rehabbing for an ACL, where he was on a pitch count, where he was as prolific as any receiver that we have had here. Now, it's not quite the dynamic Terry McLaurin 15 yards per reception, but a guy in a scheme where they were kind of spoon-feeding Drake May and gave him more and more as the season went on, as that team got better and better and kind of became a defense and ground-and-pound type group in Vrabel's image. But 85 catches and 113 yards. Terry McLaurin has one season where he's gone topped 85 catches. One. Stephon Diggs gets out of bed and catches 100 balls. We're not spending enough time talking about this. What just happened to their receiving core? I am optimistic that Stephon Diggs gives them a different dynamic, a much needed. They were starving for this, what he's able to do. I understand he's not going to go for 1,500 yards anymore, but that doesn't mean he's not worthwhile. This was a fantastic signing. I think the league missed it on this one. Again, I'm not telling you he's not Jamar Chase. He doesn't have to be, because you've got McLaurin, who I think is a threat. I think Diggs is such a technician. He's going to be open. He's going to get the football more than everybody thinks. I am bullish on this. Give me your next one.
Yeah, I'll be quick on this one. I'm optimistic that this defensive scheme is going to create a lot of havoc for defenses, and it's going to be something that really improves this defense. How good are they going to be? That's still to be determined, but I think they're going to get pressure on the quarterback. I think they're going to confuse the opposing quarterback, and I think they're going to be stout against the run because of the amount of guys that are going to be up the line of scrimmage. So it comes down to the secondary and if they can hold up. But from what I've seen, I'm pretty bullish on this defense being much better than it was last season. Now, granted, there wasn't anywhere to go but up from what they were last season, but I do think that you're going to see a pretty solid defense this year.
One more, then I'll turn it over to Strubs. Chigakonkwo. I wanted Chigakonkwo. When free agency was starting and tight ends were being banded about, who do you want? Isaiah Likely, do you want to win a bidding there? I said, no. This is the guy that I want. I think there's some Vernon Davis here. And that means it's not quite the you know, powerful inline blocker or the guy that's, you know, just a technical route runner or someone that's going to, get open in a phone booth. But there's some athleticism. There's some speed. There's some dynamic here. And I think they were just scratching the surface of this guy in Tennessee. If he does what I think they think he's going to do, that's a great option for Jaden Daniels and company. Now, it's on David Blau, of course, like everything else is when we talk about scheme and dynamic and stuff, to get him the ball with a head of steam. I want him running with the football. In other words, if he catches it static, you could have had Zach Ertz do that. You could have any other catch and fall tight end do that. If he's got to box out, turn around, square up to the line of scrimmage, you get him the ball when he's already starting to move, you're going to see some rumbling. You're going to see a tackle or two broken. You might see a move or two, set up a block, carry something outside, some yards after the catch, which has been a foreign concept around here for the tight end spot. Strobes, what are you optimistic about?
Believe it or not, I think the pass rush, and I'm more consistently talking about what's coming from the outside here when you add Odafe Owe for $100 million, then Kalavon Chaisson, who I think was very, very underrated and actually was a crucial piece for that Patriots defense that basically carried them all the way to the Super Bowl. But when you add these guys to the mix, and Dorrance Armstrong essentially becomes your third edge rusher at this point in time. There was a time last season when he was on pace for 17 sacks. He wouldn't have finished with that, but he might have got up to double digits, maybe 11 or 12 if he stayed healthy before he tore his ACL in Dallas. I'm interested to see what they'll get from the production from the tackles in the interior. But if you can be a little bit creative with how you are sending some of these guys, Durante Jones being a little bit creative and maybe some stun action stuff, I think they're going to get to the quarterback. And we're forgetting, Frankie Louvu was an all-pro in 2024. He did nothing last year, but I think he's going to be much better this year.
I like it. 800-636-1067. Graduating from the chat to the actual phone lines, Jupe, West Virginia. Happy Friday, buddy. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all feeling?
Good, pal.
Good, good. I'm optimistic that we're not going to get blown out by 100 points a game. I'm optimistic that...
I'm sorry, that's a good one.
I'm optimistic that, you know, if we do lose, we're losing competitively, and it's because of a lack of talent, not because of blown assignments or the guys not knowing where to play. I'm optimistic about the offense, especially for Terry. Now he's finally got a stud at wide receiver, too. And, you know, and Hemethy having a bounce back year. I'm also optimistic about Blau. If we go back to 2024 with Hemethy, we've seen that he was able to make a lot of magic happen. So what if Blau calls the wrong play, but Hemethy is still able to make something happen with that? Only thing I'm asking Blau not to do is if Hemethy get injured and comes back into the game, please don't call a QB power run. Please no. That's all I got for you guys.
Dude, you and me both have a great weekend. I would take that page out of the playbook that includes those QB powers, and I would shoot them with a blowtorch, and I would do a ceremony about it.
Yeah.
And I understand the defense, you know, you got to give them something to think about. I don't want them to think about that. That's a free shot at my quarterback, and no thank you.
You can save those for the playoffs or the Super Bowl if you got to have it. I don't need to see that in week 4.
Fourth and one, needed TD, divisional game, fine. We're not doing it from the 26. No, thank you. Disco, Laura, what are you optimistic about, buddy?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great, my friend.
Great job, man. You are Robert Horry, man. You are just coming off the bench, just hitting threes.
I appreciate it.
Before I get to what I'm most optimistic about, Danny, I want to push back a little bit on the offensive line,
please.
Really quick. You spent 5 draft picks on a top 3 left tackle in the league. You spent a top 100 pick in a third round pick in 2024. You spent a first round pick in 2025. So I understand what you're saying, and my issue, but what I'm saying is, it's not like they haven't tried to invest in.
That's fair, Disco. That's fair.
And then also, but where I have an issue with is with center. You tell us, well, you show us you want to go get a new center, and then you tell us you're good with what you have. So which is it? So having said that, what am I optimistic about? Let me tell you something, guys. And I know, and I'm going with Toby's Jaden Daniels. I saw him in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
I witnessed greatness, and all of these, you know, pundits and all of this, you know, conjecture. I saw Jaden. I don't know his middle name. I saw Jaden Daniels play football. So I think he erases a lot. Not saying that it all has to rest on him,
mm-hmm.
but I am optimistic of what he can do in this scheme And I think he's coming with the vengeance. And I am not underestimating what all of this noise is with him. Jaden Daniels, fellas, that's it.
Love it. Appreciate you, dude. So I think just to, real quick, just to go back to the first part of Disco's call, good one as always. He always makes good calls. The line point that he made, I think, is a good one. There are attempts there. I guess what I'm saying is they don't, and I know it sounds like tough guy stuff, and I'm not trying to blow Disco out of the water here. They don't give trophies for attempts.
Correct.
Right? Like, my point is the state of the union is your net, your bottom line is people that are really smart are like, yeah, they're 32nd. And with Tunsil, they were just inside the top 20. I get your point. They've spent some resources. Had they spent the right resources? I don't know. Again, I'm with you. I like Connerly. I'm all about it. And I think right there, that was a decent enough pick. Who knows if there was someone else that went 10 picks later they could have used. I don't know what I don't know there. I'm by no means an expert. I read the same thing you guys do. I just know that here we are in year three, and this is what the line is. I guess that's my only point.
Yeah, I mean, similarly, it's like when we talked about Ron and Jack Del Rio, and you go, they never addressed linebacker. Well, they spent a first rounder on it. It was just the wrong guy.
Yes, it was.
And he wasn't very good and was worried about speeding around the DMV
he loved that so much.
Playing good football. So to me, I understand the point. I think it's a correct one. But just because you spent resources, well, doesn't make the line better necessarily. You've got to get the right resources or you got to spend it correctly, and they haven't necessarily.
800-636-1067. One more segment on this before we'll talk about some, but we're talking about rather at 6 o'clock. So guys that might be here for life, we'll explain. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Top of the hour here on G&D, we will discuss guys that might be here for life, talking about young DC sports stars. Welcome back. Toby in for GP. We are brought to you exclusively by the law firm of Condori and Morad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're talking about football right now, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Well, football conversation is brought to you on 106.7 The Fan. It's presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that. So we're talking about what you're optimistic about. Darius is over there chomping at the bit.
Uh-oh.
He's optimistic about something, and he wants the world to know about it. Darius, tell the people.
So the last 5 years for the Commanders, these are some rankings that they've, or this is where they've placed in this particular category the last 5 years. In 2025, they were 31st.
Okay.
2024, they were 20th. 2023, they were 24th. 2022, they were 26th. And then in 2021, they were 22nd.
Can I guess what the category is?
You go for it.
Turnovers forced?
That would be turnovers forced.
There it is.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I am optimistic that Durante Jones is going, and his attacking style defense will get the Commanders out of the drethers that are the lower half of the league in takeaways. I believe he will get them over 20th at least. Now, Brian Flores, his last 3 years with the Vikings, 2023, the Vikings ranked 20th in takeaways. 2024, they were first. And then last year in 2025, they were 12th in takeaways. I think it's time that Durante Jones brings that attitude to the Commanders as well.
Let's go.
I love it.
I love that.
Because again, we talked about this towards the beginning of the show, Tobes. It's an identity. You might give up some stuff. They guess right on your blitz. They block it up. Somebody's one-on-one. He might go to the house or he might gouge you for 20, 30, 40 yards, whatever. That's part of this. People are going to have to live with some big plays potentially happening against this defense. But the whole point is, here's our identity. We're at least going to turn you over some. We might do something called sack the quarterback.
No?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Oh, yeah, it's allowed. And this will be nuts. The ball might come out.
Oh.
Yeah, something called a fumble.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, you're allowed to pick it up too.
Do you think that if the quarterback throws the football, that there's a chance that Washington could catch the football?
Now, what year is it?
I believe it's 2026.
So in that year, yes. Now, if you ask me about 2025, the it's a resounding no. Only the Jets forced fewer, and it's kind of laughable. Even if you just had guys stand still on the field, 11 guys standing still, you might end up with more interceptions than they had last year. 800-636-1067. What are you optimistic about? Tony in D.C., tell us about it.
Hello.
Hey, what's Tony. Up, Tony?
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm awesome, man. I love the show. I'm going to start off from that.
Appreciate you.
And I'm optimistic about us keeping our quarterback upright because, man, we got an explosive team already. So, man, if they can just keep him upright, man, I think it's going to be a problem.
With you. If Daniels is healthy, I expect some great things. I don't know if you're going to get the prolific production because I don't know that they want that. I mean, the design this offseason to me wasn't Toby, let's go have him throw for 5,000 yards and run for another 1,000. It was, let's slow it down. Let's run the ball. Let's play some defense. Let's turn some people over. I don't know that it's let him be prolific, but he's still a killer.
Yeah, completely agree. It's going to be a lot of running the football and not Jaden Daniels running the football. I think they're going to try to have that and then work their play action off of it. So ideally for them, the entire offense doesn't ride on Jaden Daniels. So in turn, maybe the numbers aren't there, but I do think, you know, if he's able to stay healthy, I think he's going to have a really good season.
Mark and Largo, what's up, buddy? What are you optimistic about for this year's team?
I'm optimistic about the defense. I am optimistic now that we have Diggs. I think Jaden will stay healthy 17 games. And I do believe this team will to do what they need to do to win the division and go all the way to the Super Bowl because you got a defense now that can get turnovers and get pressure on the passer. He's going to have so much talent. This is the best talent Jaden Daniels, receiving-wise, he's had around him in his career, period. So I think it's time to be optimistic. Dan with the national media, so who cares what they say?
It'll be fun to shut him up if you're right, buddy. Appreciate you. Kent Fairfax, what are you optimistic about with the squad?
Happy Friday, gentlemen. Great show.
Appreciate
as
you,
always. I am psyched and pumped for Williams' development behind Diggs. And, I mean, you give him a year behind those two guys, and that guy's going to be a beast.
So it's Grant Nanny on the Fan. I appreciate that. So the narrative, I think for some, was, well, it stunts Williams, but okay, it's at the altar of Jaden Daniels, so that's fine. I don't necessarily view it that way. What an internship to his point.
Yes.
Hey, would you like to learn how to get open in short areas in the slot? Have I got a guy for you? That's Stephon Diggs. You want to learn what it's like to be an outside guy that's pretty prolific and has had a pretty good career in this league, despite maybe not being Calvin Johnson, a dude that's a freak athlete. It's not to say Terry McLaurin's a bad athlete, but you know what I mean. Calvin Johnson, he's not. I got a great internship for you there, too. What a learning program. What a developmental program for somebody that's learned how to get open at this level.
Yeah, and all reports so far with him being in town have been that he's a fantastic teammate, whether it's trying to get the intensity up at practice. I think Sam Cosmi or someone I mentioned that with B. Mitch and Finley earlier this week. They're, you know, you're getting to the end of practice and there's a rep and he's like, all right, guys, let's go. Let's get this thing going. Whether it's that or it's working with the other guys in that wide receiver room, specifically the young guys. So you're absolutely right. To me, it also helps for a guy like Williams where now if he doesn't go off and become the number two receiver, it's okay. Right? Like before it was, well, who's going to step up in that spot? You need somebody. Now it's load's taken off, bud. Do whatever you can, and we would love to see you. And by the way, this idea that if Antonio Williams shows out, they're not going to be able to find a spot for him. Last time I checked, if you can play football at a really high level and you can make plays, they'll find a way to get you on the football field. And I think that's how it's going to work for Antonio Williams. He shows out, don't worry. He'll be on the football field.
That's Toby Altizer. I'm Danny Ruggie. This is Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Tobe sitting in for GP. We got one big old segment left. Want to touch on a couple things. One, we'll talk about what we're nervous about with the football team. We did some positive stuff. Let's do the things. Hey, these are questions that I've got. Secondly, there was an article, I think it was NHL.com, had this about a couple young Capitals that the team might want to extend. And you're already going, wait, that's crazy. We're not even in Capital season yet. It's not really about extending these two young players. It got me to thinking about guys that might actually be here for a really long time in the wake of the trade deadline, a couple young players getting traded, and that whole chestnut. We'll get into that when we come back here on The Fan.